show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 27th of November, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff. There's a new update for AOL's Instant Messenger, brand new woes for the brand new Xbox 360,
and even more woes for Sony's ham-handed copy protection. But first... Before we do that, I personally want to take just a moment to say that I was a complete idiot on Friday.
I can't believe you and I were talking earlier that you went out on Black Friday.
I went out on Black Friday. This is what...
Were you running a fever?
I was an idiot. I'm pretty sure there's no other way to put that. I'm an idiot. I actually went out... to a place my beloved wife said, someone's listening. This particular store would be open at 5 a.m. So I said, okay, I'll go there at 5 a.m. Not a problem.
I've never been up at 5 a.m.
I have, but usually
I've been still up at 5 a.m.
Yes, exactly. So I went to this place. As it turns out, it didn't open till 6. Little joke on me. So I went. I went somewhere else instead. Picked up a few things and then came. And then I drove through and grabbed a little breakfast and then came back to this place at about 10 to 6. I was like the 10th, 12th person in line. We're standing in line waiting. This guy comes up. He's all happy. He's already been to KB Toys and Toys R Us.
You talking about Black Friday shopping?
Yeah. And he went to, I forget which one he went to, but it was empty. It was completely empty. Nobody was there.
Or can I tell you, I was in retail for 8 years, and because of it, I hate the mall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had to go there yesterday, and you don't want to, it's just all those people and parking, and they're rude.
Here's the thing. We're in line, and everybody's being polite and nice, and it's all right. And then this guy comes out, it's about five of, the guy comes out of the store and says, look, here's the rules. Line up here. If you're looking for this special, it's there. If you want this, you got to talk to a representative. They're behind the counter, blah, blah, blah. And this lady behind me starts, let us in. She thought she was in Dog Day Afternoon. Attica. Let us in.
Funny.
Now, I can't hear the guy. This woman's screaming. Nobody's picking up on her, let us in, like we care. And now she's all pork and she starts yelling and swearing and being rude and nasty to us. We're just the other people in line.
Well, like they showed in Philadelphia there. I mean, they were opening doors, and people were were falling and jumping over people and, you know, more or less kicking them, trying to get in, and it was like this huge pile of people falling just to try to get in. Hello? I don't care.
The funny part about it is that the majority of the stores that have those doorbuster sales that people, you know, slam into, that stuff will break in 2 months anyway because it's so cheap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's loss leaders. And it needs junk to begin with.
And either that or people will break it on the way out or, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things.
As the owner of three retail stores here in town, thank you for coming out and shopping. We had record-breaking sales.
But we're open
today in Victor.
But the thing of it is, though, I mean, as much as I love my grandchildren, I mean, I've got 5 grandchildren and I do just about anything for them. But to get up at that hour of the morning, freeze my butt off.
What are stores open at 4 o'clock now?
Some people were camping out at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
You gotta wonder when the time is gonna come that these stores are gonna be open on Thanksgiving Day or open at 8, 9 o'clock
Comp
Thanksgiving
USA
night.
Comp USA opened at midnight, and I was talking to one of the guys who works there. He said there were 300 people lined up.
I'm sorry,
I don't know that that's true, but that's what he told me.
Right, right.
300 people lined up at midnight just so you could get in early.
Nothing is that important that they have to have it.
Although, I don't know if you're going to
mention
it later.
I'm sorry, if it's not there, it's not there. Oh, well.
The same sort of pandemonium a week ago with the Xbox 360 opening.
Right.
People lining up and trampling people to get the Xbox. The retail price is what, $400?
Right.
It's already selling on eBay for nearly $1,000.
There was one guy sold it for $2,500 bucks.
They said that the day of the opening sale, they gave a quantity of how many were actually sold that day.
Yeah.
1,800 of that quantity wound up on eBay that evening.
Yeah, you buy two, and then you finance them both with the sale of the second one.
And again, it's something you wait.
And in 3 months, they'll be readily available, and the first revision will be out.
And well, but it's like, you know, when the Harry Potter movie came out, my daughter and I were there at the midnight show. You know, when the books come out, we're there at the bookstore at midnight to pick up the book. It's a thing that you do.
Yeah, but do you go home and read it, or do you go home and go to bed?
No, we go home and read it. Oh, no. We have to buy two copies so that neither one of us has to wait and be second.
Oh, I'm on page 27. Harry does this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm up to page 48. Yeah, the good Hermione news
is,
did this.
Yeah, the good news is I can stay up later than she can, so I'm always ahead of her. Yeah.
The advantages of being an adult.
Exactly. But yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. People were crazed.
I did the majority of my shopping on the internet. I'm done. My Christmas shopping is done, and I've done probably 95% of it on the internet this year.
Well, now speaking of that, that's our poll of the week this week.
I didn't plan for that to happen either.
I know. Yeah. I know you didn't. But the thing we'll talk about it a little later, how much of your holiday shopping are you planning to do online? And it's becoming, because while we'll talk about this later, it's a pretty big deal, actually. The funny thing was I went to the store, and I'm not going to name the store or what I bought. But I went to the store to pick up a specific item at 6 a.m. And this lady who was behind me, the dog day afternoon lady, the Al Pacino lady, she's also now at the counter screaming and yelling because it's one per customer. Like, it didn't say that in the flyer. So I'm standing next to her.
And signs all over the store probably, too.
And signs all over the store.
Did you say anything to her? I mean, seriously.
Well, this is what happened. Right. So I'm standing there, and the guy behind the counter, I know him slightly, and he recognized me, and we were chit-chatting about this and that. And he said, "So what do you want?" And I said, "Well, as a joke, I said, well, I wanted two of those, but I guess I can only have one." So he looks right at the lady, he looks right at me, and says, "You can have two."
If you ask politely.
I didn't actually want to. Right. But I took them.
So double the price and sell it to her.
No, because she followed me out of the store. Woman follows me out of the store. I want one. Give me one of those. No. I said, no. They're mine. I have two of them. They're mine. She offered me a substantial amount of money for them compared to what I paid. And I said, no.
You know, people are just out of their mind.
Had she been polite.
Hello, that takes the whole fun out of the whole... out of the whole spirit of the holiday.
I think the item itself was cheap. Had she been polite, I'd have given it to her.
Right.
You know?
I honestly think that, you know, that like you say, that just takes it out of the holidays. I mean, you go to the mall and
when people have to get that crazy that they're sitting there, you know, causing fights in a store over an item. They were, I heard of another one, I think it was down in Tennessee, because they had this special on laptops. And they were going crazy, literally fist fights breaking out of who grabbed this laptop case first.
Right.
And it's like,
all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd really love to hear your shopping stories. Give us a call and tell us what you did on Black Friday when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
I'd have been a lot readier had I had my little earbud in my ear as opposed to just sitting here quietly.
That's right. We still love you.
In the silence all by myself. Thank you. Now, before we get back to the phones, and Ken has a Black Friday story, I do want to mention that while Friday was Black Friday, where, you know, the biggest shopping day of the year, the day when everybody goes out to the malls.
Although not the biggest sales day of the year, biggest customer day of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. the day when most people are planning to do a lot of their shopping online. So we're going to talk to Ken about Black Friday, and we'd like to talk to you about that and about how much of your shopping you're planning on doing on Monday. Ken, welcome to Soundbites. Give us your story.
Ken, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I was up visiting the family in Boston this past weekend. Brother-in-law wanted to bail out first thing Friday morning to hit some of the Circuit Cities and the CompUSAs and so on in that area, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
People were friendly. We got some great, great deals on brand-name stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect it's going to break as we walk out the door. And we had a ball, met a lot of nice people in line. Couple of women that we had been talking to, my Lord, we could have exchanged emails and have become lifelong friends.
Yeah, it's the way it works when you're in those lines, isn't it?
It sure is.
Except for the one Attica lady, we were all buddies by the time we got in the door.
We picked up 19-inch flat-screen Samsung monitors for $199 and hard drives, 200 gig for $30 and name brand stuff, and it was terrific.
Mayskin, next year I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those, that's sort of the big thing we run into year round is all these mail in rebates. You pay $250 up front and then get $150 back mail in rebate in 6 to 8 weeks if it doesn't get lost and you followed all the forms right and you have 16
or 6 to 8 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
The funny part about that was that I did go to do the rebate online with one of the companies that I had in. Everybody must have been crunching the server because it just was barfing.
Oh yeah,
hell yeah!
It just could not handle all the traffic that it was getting. I do have a real quick iPod question, if I could.
Sure.
Daughter's got an iPod Mini, and for some reason, it's recognizing her files, her music files, as WAV and not MP3. So consequently, on a 4 gig iPod Mini, she's only able to grab 127 songs. Versus 1,000.
Right.
Wave
files are uncompressed. Is it completely uncompressed or is it a lossless compression?
Yeah, pretty much completely uncompressed.
Uncompressed, like the original AIF. So you run about 10 megs a minute compared to the 1 meg a minute for a typical MP3 or AAC. What probably happened is in your iTunes preferences, you have it set to import your CDs as Wave instead of MP3. So then it thinks it's doing what it's been told and is bringing everything in his Wave.
So is it in his iTunes, he's got to change the setting there.
Right. In iTunes preferences under importing, change the import settings from Wave to MP3 or AAC, which AAC is developed by Dolby Labs, and it gives you a better quality than MP3 at about the same file size. So a lot of people like the AAC. The existing files that you already have in your iTunes list, which are now Waves, you can convert to MP3. Once you have your import settings set to MP3, there's a convert audio or convert selection command in the advanced menu of iTunes. So you can convert all those Waves down to MP3, delete the Waves, and then get up to the 1,000 songs again.
There you go. That was easy enough.
Some of the true audiophiles like the uncompressed formats because MP3 and AAC, all the compression formats are lossy. It throws away information it doesn't think you'll miss.
Right.
And for the average folk, you don't miss it. But the audiophiles and people with really good ears miss a lot of that data, and they can hear the difference between an MP3 and a AIF, which is the standard audio CD format.
Right, right. All right, our next caller, Bruno. In Greece. Welcome, Bruno. What's your question?
Purchased a Compaq Mac computer.
Mm-hmm.
I did not set in line, by the way, 5 o'clock in the morning.
There you go.
I paid a full shot, which I really don't care. Anyway, they gave me some CDs with some games, so eventually they run out and you have to go online and buy them. But what I've been getting on my computer now is an outbreak alert. You are not against rapidly spreading threats. It says, protect me.
That's a bogus message.
It is?
It's an advertisement. If you're lucky, it's an advertisement wanting you to buy something. If you're unlucky, it's a virus attacking you.
Or spyware.
Or spyware masquerading as a legitimate message. So when you click on the box, it downloads whatever a malicious payload it had designed.
Bruno, what antivirus program are you now running?
I believe it has... Internet security, antivirus, anti-spam.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it keeps blinking on me. It's a little orange. I'm not too familiar with these.
It's probably blinking to tell you there's an update available.
Yes, there's also keeps going online. Tells me you have received updates, and he wants to download them. As a matter of fact, prior to me to shut down a computer, it's downloading this, downloading that, and it won't shut off until apparently it does all the downloading.
That's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, but now the Norton Internet Security keeps blinking on and off, and kind of gives me an idea that's trying to protect the computer.
It's probably trying to tell you there are still more updates available. Updates come out every couple of days or so.
But you know what? The Internet Security, though, could be blocking his games. Okay. He's getting that game protecting, being protected.
Nah, it sounds more like one of the bogus error messages.
Could be, but I mean, I had more issues with that Internet Security of Norton. That it goes wild.
It sometimes makes your computer too secure, so you can't go places you want to. Right. The other issue is that oftentimes when you buy a new computer that comes bundled with Norton or McAfee or one of the antivirus programs, it's a limited subscription, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days.
Right,
so after 30 days, it stops updating itself, and then you're no longer protected. So you want to make sure whatever specific program you're running is current, and the subscription is current as well.
That's one thing I can't stress enough on folks. I mean, we get machines in daily, and I'm sure you get it too. They sit there and say, well, it runs, you know, it runs the virus program all the time. Here's two things, folks. You've got to, in both of them, in Norton, if you open it up, it gives a status screen. And right there on the status screen, it shows you the date of your definition files. If that definition file is older than 7 days, then it's not updating.
And you also check your subscription date.
Yeah.
Because likely your subscription ran out.
And then in McAfee, if you go on the left-hand side to the second tab in the About, that's where you find out the date of your definition files there. And if it's the rule is on any of the antivirus programs, always check the definition date file. If it is older than 7 days, you are unprotected.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Firefox. We got all kinds of things to talk about. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Cindy from Geneseo. Welcome, Cindy. What's your question?
I'm having a problem with a Trojan Vundo virus. I'm supposedly protected by Norton antivirus, but yet I continue to, this is the second time I've had this virus, and Norton actually is basically unable to help me. They are claiming right now they don't have a fix for it.
Yeah, I've had three computers this week with the Vundo virus on it, and Norton, there must be new variants because Norton's specific undo tool can't undo it.
Correct.
In fact, I went to safe mode command prompt, and the virus file is still in use and cannot be deleted.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to, another issue that I want to talk about, and I'm sure you run into it too. But as far as that,
wait patiently.
No. Have you gone and checked, Stinger?
You know, I was just doing that this morning based on the article that was in the paper.
If you go and get the most current version of Stinger, usually...
they had to rename it again because it's been getting hot.
Norton is... I mean, it's...
Stinger doesn't do Vundo.
Okay.
You have to... Basically, what we've found is you have to mount that drive in another computer so that you can delete the file while it's not in use.
Yeah, see, that's the way we usually do it at our shop.
Couple of them we ran into, they're NTFS volumes, so we can't boot a floppy, we can't do anything over the network, so we have to put it in another computer. If your hard drive is FAT32, then you can boot a floppy and delete the offending file.
Right. Yeah,
but the thing we're saying here, Cindy, is that in general, the only way to get rid of this virus right now is to put that machine in a second, that drive in a second machine, and delete it when it's not the boot drive. Now, the problem with doing that yourself is that now you've opened up a second machine to possible infection by the virus. That's why we always suggest that you take it to one of the professionals and let them do it for you. But yeah, you're right. The Vundo is
especially insidious.
Especially yeah. insidious, and it will be fixed, but it isn't right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
like I
say,
we just pull them out of our. We usually just take the hard drive right out, put it on our test bench, and I can do a full virus scan with McAfee, eliminate everything there, and then even do a repair if I have to.
The annoying thing is that this virus was originally released in November of 2004. So a year later, someone takes that virus code, modifies it,
plays
and then,
around.
And plays
right,
around
the real
it,
problem
yeah.
is the variants.
You know, that's one thing, and I wanted to go off, and you and I were talking about
thanks,
this
Cindy. Good luck with that.
Is, you know, folks, and I'm sure Steve runs into this too, as does every other repair shop out in Rochester right now. I know we can sit here and say, you know, all right, you got your machine full of viruses and Trojans and yada, yada, yada. And it should only take, say, X amount of time.
But to fix.
To fix.
Right.
But when you get into one of these other Trojans, like this Fundo one, you can literally spend hours trying to clean it up because they get insidious in that they have a program hidden. And it generates other files, and you know enough to look for those because they're goofy names. But you got to find the origin of the program that's creating the other programs. And that can take up quite a bit of time. So don't get upset that if it takes a little bit longer or costs a little bit more, it's because some of these viruses, Trojans, and spam just eat up a lot of time to clean out and get rid of.
And one of the differences, too, is time on the computer versus elapsed time. It may take a week of elapsed time to clean a computer.
Yes.
But you've only been sitting in front of it, say, 2-3 hours.
Yes.
Because you run a scan, come back in a day. Run a scan, come back in a day.
What amazes me is people who will say to me, you know, I ran the security Tango, and that may be what Cindy's talking about. I write my articles far enough in advance that I don't remember what they say in the paper on any given day. But the security Tango at securitytango.com is a set of steps to clear your machine of viruses. People are telling me all the time, it took 5 hours, it took 6 hours. And yet then when they bring it to you guys and you say, oh, it's an hour, they think that means an hour of real time.
I'll be back in an hour to pick it
up. It's not like there's magic. You guys have magic. It's the same 5, 6, 7 hours. You're just not spending it all sitting in front of the machine.
Exactly.
And that's sometimes the difference between bring it to us in the shop or if we come to your house, that's 5, 6, 7 hours sitting in front of the machine that you're billed for.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Because if you've called me to your house, I'll be more than glad to sit there and watch the computer churn away. But you will pay me to sit there because that you called me to your house.
Well, usually what my question is.
Well, not me. I don't do that. Don't call me. I don't do that.
Well, usually what
these guys do.
Well, I usually ask them though, what are they having for dinner?
Because you'll be there long enough.
And they go, "What do you mean?" Well, if you want me to come here and clean it, I'm staying for dinner, and I want to make sure it's something good.
And we understand
it's gonna take that long.
People don't like to tear their computer systems apart. You may be uncomfortable in pulling the wires out. You may not remember where the wires go back in when you pull them out. Fortunately, most of the wires only fit in the right spot.
Yeah,
and they're color coded these days.
Right now, they're color coded. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, wow, we've got lots of people on the line. We've got Steve and Frank and Kurt and Bill and all kinds of folks. Don't forget, we want to hear your Black Friday shopping stories, and we'll talk about Cyber Monday shopping stories, too, when we come back with Dave and Steve and Rob and me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
With Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And before we get back, let me just remind everybody, much of the stuff we're going to talk about when it comes to viruses and things like that, the step-by-step instructions are at the Security Tango. SecurityTango.com. There's a link on our website. There's links all over the place. SecurityTango.com. If you follow those instructions step-by-step, that should take care of all your viruses for you. I just want to mention that, you know, we're not going to go over them step by step here, but
we don't have enough time. I mean,
and
especially like we said, it can take 5 or 6 hours. Yeah,
and
do it all.
Exactly, and it takes hours. But our next caller, who we got here?
Steve
from Webster. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hello. Yes, I'm trying to figure out which format of DVD I should be using, whether it should be a plus R, minus R, plus RW, minus RW.
It depends on what you're going to do with the disc.
Well,
if you're just going to keep it yourself, it doesn't matter, because your drive will read whatever it writes.
Well, I'm going to download my 8mm movie to DVD format, and I want to be able to have it so that anybody in the family can play it on their DVD recorder.
DVD minus R is the common standard, format. The most common standard for DVD video on DVD players.
Minus R. Okay, right. Now, there's been a lot of talk about eventually eliminating one of the formats. Do you have any insight?
Most of the computer drives can read the plus and minus, the R and the RW, and now they're doing the dual layer, DVD
dual
9.
Layer.
Yeah, they can do 8 gigs per disc. Eventually, what the format wars are now heating up for the high definition DVD. There's HD DVD and Blu-ray DVD, and eventually those will get incorporated into drives as well. So they do all the formats. It's mostly the computer drives that are handling all these new formats. The DVD players that you buy in the store are a little bit slower in adding these new formats as well. So that becomes the issue. Mostly what you're doing with the disc. If you want it to play on a DVD player, use the minus R. If you're going to give it to someone with a computer, the plus R might work. Although the minus R discs are pretty much the cheapest to use anyway.
Yeah, and most universal.
Yeah.
Minus R.
Yeah. And of course, if you're talking about storing data, there's a whole new optical drive system coming out next year that holds 60 times as much data as a DVD.
Cool.
300 gigabytes of data. It writes 10 times faster than the DVD. It's holographic memory disks.
Cool. I remember the Holocube 10 years ago where they're storing data on the vertices of the crystal. Of the crystalline structure.
Yep.
You know, it's just right out of Star Trek.
Yep. But yeah, it's so that's going to change the landscape in terms of data storage. But in terms of what Steve's talking about, it's still DVD minus R if you want every conceivable DVD player out there to read it. Our next caller, Frank from Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Losing any protection going from Norton antivirus to AVG because this week my Norton ran out. I went to AVG and I promptly got infected with this W32 Sober virus. Am I losing anything going to the free version versus the paid version of Norton?
No, I've been using AVG for I can't tell you how long, years, and I've never been hit with anything. I don't.
The key thing is to make sure you keep getting updated every day.
Right.
You know, every hour, run the update check to make sure that you've got the latest definitions. There's always going to be a timing delay between a new virus that comes out at, say, noon on Thursday and when the antivirus companies release their definition at maybe, say, 7 on Thursday. So it's got those few hours to propagate.
A lot of the virus writers know that most definition files come out on Wednesday. So they wait until Thursday to release their, Thursday or Friday to release their virus.
Right.
And then that way it can, get out there and spend the whole weekend.
Or they do it Friday night, so everyone goes home for the weekend.
And a lot of businesses then are scrambling Monday morning to try to make sure that they're protected. Meanwhile, the antivirus companies are sitting there working the weekend trying to get a patch to clear it up. So it's an ongoing battle.
Yeah, theoretically, AVG being smaller, the smaller companies can innovate faster. And, it's probably just one or two guys and they don't have to go through committees. So they might be able to update faster than the bigger companies.
That's very true. We're going to take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, Nick, you, all of us, Soundbites on 1180 WHAF.
Wow.
Or Frontier's new talk.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, but then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the show, I want to talk a little bit about the podcast. Last week, I recorded the show, and the recording is really, it's horrible. It fades out in various places. I don't know what I did wrong, but I'm trying to clean it up. And until it gets clean, I'm not gonna upload it. That's the story on that one. It's ugly right now.
If someone else has a clean copy of it, they'd like to send us, then we'll upload that.
Yeah, send us the file.
Yeah, I now have a cron job recording it on my Linux box at work, off the WHAM feed. So we'll see if that.
Cool.
Did any of that make? Was that enough? Did I geek out enough in just that one sentence? I got cron and Linux and feed all in the same sentence.
There
That's
you
not
go.
Too bad. Thank you. That makes sense to me, too. But, yeah, so we'll see if that'll fix things. This is my first week of trying it, so I don't know if it works. But now the folks at WHAM are streaming their shows themselves. So I've stopped streaming it because there's no point in doing it twice, particularly when theirs is probably of a higher quality.
Although it looks like they're only using Windows Media Player.
They are, but
which is probably the worst.
MPlayer will read that. So yeah, but MPlayer will read that. I'm reading it, saving it as a wave, translating it into MP3.
I had a client just before I came to the show was saying she was having trouble installing Media Player. I didn't get to
that's
chance
a feature.
To, yeah, I know. I would recommend her. I think her name was Sarah. And Sarah, you know, don't use Media Player. I mean, probably about the worst one you could use. There's so many others out there that you can use to play things.
Right. Now, before we get back, let me talk a little bit about the podcast thing. If you click on podcast, people seem to get confused. They get a code. You're supposed to get a code. The podcast is not something. It's actually an XM. It's an RSS feed, actually. And what that is you paste that into your podcast program, iPodder or one of those, or iTunes now.
iTunes itself, yeah, iPodder, iPodX.
And what that does, it's an RSS feed, it's XML code, it's not human, it's not supposed to be readable by you, it's for the computer. And what that does is every once in a while it goes out and looks to that code to see if there's a new copy of the show available. If there is, it downloads it automatically. You are not supposed to read that. Your computer is supposed to read that. Go to the page, copy and paste the link into your podcasting software, and then from then on, it'll automatically download the newest copy of the show. Not counting last week's show, which I, of course, don't have down because...
The newest copy we've posted.
Right, the newest copy we posted. But that's what that's about. The podcast link is not something you just run. It is for the podcasting software and its code. Now that we've gotten that safely and completely out of the way, we're going to go on to our next caller, who is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Well, I got a couple of emails, and I kind of had to laugh at them at first because one was somebody posing to be emailing me from the CIA saying you've gone like 30 illegal sites. And the thing that made me laugh is right behind it, I got another one from the same person, Stephen Allison or something like that, saying that he was from the FBI and you've gone to illegal sites. They both come with attached files asking me to fill out a questionnaire and return it. And of course, I deleted it right away, and so I can't even tell you what the name of the attached file was. But I have two parts of the question. One is, how are they able to represent themselves as a government agency? Because the email says, you know, CIA.gov, FBI.gov.
Oh yeah, well, first, yeah, let's back up just a tiny little bit here, Bill, because you're absolutely right. This is one of the things we were going to talk about. There's a new worm going around. It says that it's the FBI, the CIA, the BKA, which is a German agency.
Yep.
They're all sending you email about your surfing habits. The emails have titles like you visit illegal websites or your IP was logged. And you're right. There's a zip file they want you to open up and fill out the questionnaire. The deal is you double click on that zip file and you infect yourself with a variant of the sober worm.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, just throw them away. In terms of representing themselves as coming from the CIA or whatever, the single easiest thing to do on Earth is to spoof your email address.
Okay.
Yeah, when you
In fact, it's embarrassingly easy to do.
Yeah.
When you set up your email program, it asks you what your return address is. You can put anything you want in
there. Yeah.
And in fact, using any one of a million tools, I can change it for every person I send my mail to.
You could even have it say you're the president of the United States.
I can do it under Linux. I can do it under Windows. I can do it under the Mac. I can do it under any email program on earth. You can change your return address in a hot New York second. Now, if you dig farther into the email using some of the tools that the forensics people use to find this stuff, you can see that it's not actually coming from the FBI at all. But you have to be able to dig to find it, and, mm-hmm. and the average person can't do that. So the bottom line here for everybody is if you get email from the FBI or the CIA saying you visit illegal websites and your IP address has been logged and double-click here to fill out this form, just dump it. It's a worm. It's trying to infect you with a virus. Just get rid of it.
And both the FBI and CIA have explanations of this on their own websites.
Yeah. Right.
Although
right.
I'm always nervous about going to the CIA website.
Well, you should be. You should be.
Yeah, the men in the black van is going to show up at my door.
Yeah, exactly right.
Sites like hamsters.duck.
They are following you, Sonny Boy. Although I have to say I'm now off the...
just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, we are going to take yet another quick break. During which you get to listen to the great news. There's news, there's weather, there's sports, there's all kinds of good things going on in the world. And we here at Wham are dedicated to bringing you this information in a timely, friendly, interesting, easy-to-absorb format. That's us. We're kind of like vitamin C for your brain. We're easy to absorb. And on the other side of that, we're going to bring back Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, if he'll ever talk to me again. Me, Nick Francesco, and we're going to be bringing you a lot more news, a lot more interesting stuff. If you're on the line, please hold on. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call. We're Soundbites, and we're on 1180 WHAM.
More news. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Jim has been waiting patiently on the line. Jim, how are you today? Jim?
Yes, I'm well. Thank you. I'm in the process of doing the security dance. It's very, very bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I had the... I went to CW Shredder because what was happening was when I type in something on the internet, toolbar, it's very, very slow, and I thought for sure I had a hijacked homepage.
Sure.
But they didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the internet is very, very slow. I did get an error message, and I'm not sure if this is related. It was called dumprep.exe. It says DLL initialized failed, application failed to initialize. Because Windows is shutting down.
Have you run both the SpyBot and Adaware?
I haven't done it yet. I just got. Did the update. So
before you do anything else, I would run those. Install those two programs.
Yeah.
Update them and
right.
run those before messing around with anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't get out of order with the steps.
No. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Start at the beginning. Do every step in order. Don't skip a step. Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, you know, we took a long time making that happen.
Sure.
Yeah, because if you try to, you know, jump ahead and do this or eliminate this file before, mm-hmm. you know, Adaware and SpyBot have a chance to do their thing, you could cause more problems.
All righty.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're quite
all right.
welcome.
That error file, is that something to be concerned about?
Not yet, it isn't.
Wait, and SpyBot and Adware, I think, will eliminate a lot of that stuff for you.
Right. Only if you get it after you've done the entire tango correctly, then it's something to worry about. But the tango should handle that for you. Our next caller is Ron in Albion, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
I got a bunch of tapes there now. They're not the 8-track tapes. I don't want to sound stupid here, but they're not the 8-track tapes. They're the next ones down.
Cassettes. They are. Regular cassette tapes.
Okay, yeah. And then I want to transfer them over to CDs. Is this possible?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do I have to do?
Well, you have to. There's a couple of things you have to do. The easiest thing to do would be to get into our forums and talk to the folks who've been doing it for a long time. But basically, what you need is you have to be able to hook your cassette deck up to your computer through the sound card. Now it starts to get hard because that depends on whether or not your cassette deck requires an amplifier in the line or not. But once you get it connected to your sound card correctly, then you should be able to play the cassette and hear it through your speakers. Now all you have to do is capture it. And you can use any one of 100 programs. Total Recorder is only $15. Audacity is free. Those are two of the best. Steve will have or already has those on our on our list of stuff from the show. And that's really all there is. You start depending on how long this thing is, you start it, you let it play, you wait, you turn it off, and you save it. You're done.
Okay. Now, how do I know if I'm hooked up right on the sound card?
You'd be able to play it and hear it through the speakers.
The computer speakers.
Yep.
Okay.
Before you try to record it. If you can't hear it, you're not recording anything.
Total Recorder works really good.
Total Recorder is great.
Yeah, only $12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And all right. You can do a lot with it.
Okay, and if I can, I've got one last question.
Yeah, go.
This PC registry cleaner PC whatever they call it now. They're letting you try it out for free for so many days or whatever.
Yeah.
I just ran their experimental thing last night, or not experimental, but their trial thing last night. It said I had 107. Problems in there. Could that be so?
You have to be very, very careful with registry cleaners. There's a lot of fake ones on the internet that are actually spyware and viruses and Trojan horses. And if something is removed incorrectly from the registry, your computer won't boot at all. So you have to be really careful what you're downloading and only download something you know is from a reputable site.
In general, I'm not a huge fan of registry cleaners since, in my experience, they cause as many problems as they fix.
Yeah, most of them give you a list. Here's a bunch of files. What do you want me to do with them? I don't know. That's why I got you.
Yeah, exactly. But unless you know what you're talking about, then there's nothing there for you. So I wouldn't necessarily ever click on one of those ever, Ron. Our next caller is Mark from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
I've got some problems with my internet browser. I use Firefox and sometimes Internet Explorer, mostly Firefox. And I'm having a problem with hyperlinks. Perhaps it's using the computer a long time, but I frequently click on something to take me to another screen, and all I get is a blank screen. And it says done at the bottom.
Sometimes. Are you, when you click on these links, are you trying to open them in a new tab or just opening them?
Sometimes I'm just trying to open them. Sometimes I'll open them in a new window.
If you're trying to open them in a new window and they are, in fact, a JavaScript link, they will not open. You'll get a blank page.
Okay.
And the way you can tell that sometimes, is when you point to the link, but before you click on it, if you look down where it says done, it'll say JavaScript, paren, and a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Or starting applet.
Yeah. Right, or starting applet. If you see any of that sort of thing down there, then you know it's a JavaScript, and you can open it in a new screen. It probably is trying to open a new window or whatever.
Okay.
Now, the rest of it depends on how you've got your security settings.
All right.
In Firefox, if you've got your security settings down that JavaScript can do nothing, then yes, when you click on a link, you'll get a blank page.
And you may also want to clear your cache and temp files. It could be a stuck JavaScript preventing new ones from opening.
Exactly.
Okay, because I don't know whether it's the JavaScript, because sometimes if I do a long click, meaning if I hold down and do a left click for a long time, like 2 seconds, it'll open. but it's sort of inconsistent, and it's very frustrating when I'm trying to go from one screen to another.
Yeah, I would try those things first, because
clear out that cache.
Frankly,
yeah.
the computer doesn't care how long you hold the mouse key down.
Well, usually holding the left click is the same as a right click on a lot of websites. It brings up the menu. What do you want to do with this link?
Yeah, on a Mac, a long click is a menu choice, but not on a PC, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. I would try those things first. Check to see your security settings and check to see if you're trying to open a JavaScript. I get frustrated by that all the time. I love opening things in new tabs, and you can't if it's a JavaScript. Our next caller is Doug from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Yes, I'm actually from Macedon, New York, but I'm calling from Pittsford, outside church. I have a simple question. I bought a new computer station, and I want to pull all the wires out. Of course, I'll tag them. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen with the information that I have in the computer? Anything?
No.
Nothing.
No.
It will stay right
as
where
long
it
as
is.
It's turned off before you start pulling all the
yeah.
wires.
Yeah, no, well, but I kind of figured that, because it's the same way as if the current went off in the house. I wouldn't think that I would lose all my information, but I just thought I better call
yeah.
to make sure before I start pulling wires.
No, you're all good to go.
Back in the old days, though, had to shut down a hard drive, they had these routines, and you'd have to park the heads on the hard drive so that, you know, they wouldn't go dragging across the head, the plates, or actually the platters,
right.
and scrape them and ruin your data.
But in terms of your machine, Doug, as long as you shut it down correctly and it's completely off, you pull all the stuff out, you'll be fine.
And you might want to double check it. This is one hint for folks, though. If they have, say, like two printers hooked up and they're both USB, kind of remember the position of the USB, because once they're set up in Windows, if it's on, say, USB DOT1 versus DOT2, 3, or 4, and it tries to print, it's better if you can remember what USB port they were hooked up to, because that's what it remembers the last time, and they get confused
right.
sometimes looking for them.
Right.
So even with the USB ports, kind of remember which cord went into which slot. It'll save you hassles of trying to reconnect that device
when you go
to hook it up.
If you plug it back into a different USB port, Windows says, oh, here's a different printer, and now you have two printer. I had a customer last week that
right.
had 17 printers listed, all had jobs waiting to print, and the only one that didn't have a job was the real printer she physically had.
Yep. Right, right, because you've been plugging things in and out and moving the USB ports around. All right, our next caller, David from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question about a G4 Titanium.
Yeah.
I have an issue with the battery power, and I've now replaced this battery 4 times over the last 3 years, and I can only get 1 hour worth of battery life out of it with a full charge.
With a new battery, too?
Brand new battery.
Probably something wrong with the charging circuits on the logic board.
Okay.
So it's only charging to an hour and thinks it's full.
Right, and not charging it enough. One of the things you can do with a battery is called condition it. Depending on which operating system you're running, you can download a battery conditioner from Apple. But basically, it means draining the battery completely. So unplug the computer and use it. Ignore all the warnings that say you're getting low on power, and let the computer drain completely. Then plug it in overnight and let it charge completely. And that will often condition the battery so that it knows how much charge it's supposed to have. It's not as bad as the old nickel-cadmium, the NiCad batteries in the early days, where if you charged it for 10 minutes and then unplugged it and then plugged it back in for 10 minutes, it eventually thought it only had 10 minutes. Most of the new batteries have a chip in them to monitor electric consumption and tell the computer how much battery time is remaining.
But in this case, it's a brand new battery, and he's still got the same problem.
So it's probably something in the computer then.
Right.
And this is the third battery.
Well, that's just it. It's not the battery.
Yeah,
it's the computer itself.
It's something on the motherboard that's...
Now, does Apple sell an external battery charger?
Apple doesn't, but there's several third-party companies that do. Lind Electronics is the big one for notebook batteries.
So then what David might want to do is pick up one of those external battery chargers, charge the battery externally, and see if that solves his problem.
He could also try a third-party battery and not an Apple brand.
Right.
In fact, some of the third-party batteries have a higher energy density than the Apple brand, so they'll last longer.
I would think, though, it's something on the motherboard that it's chewing up batteries because it's getting new ones.
It's the power management unit, the PMU, yeah, which is a circuit board that manages.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It might be best if he
tried.
Yeah. Well, but if he tried an external battery charger, and if that worked, then he would be absolutely certain.
That reminds me, because it just happened to me. Another thing to watch is the wattage. You've got to watch the wattage of your AC adapter. On the iBooks, you can use a 45-watt adapter. On the PowerBooks, you have to use a 65-watt adapter. Otherwise, there isn't enough power to charge the computer. If you have several different computers, you might have accidentally swapped chargers along the way because they have the same tip.
Right, of course they do.
Of course they do. So if you're using a 45-watt adapter on a titanium PowerBook, there's not enough power being provided to charge the battery.
Oh, that makes sense. That's very good. Good tip.
If you look at your battery, in fact, with any electrical device, you should see either the voltage and the amperage, which you multiply and get wattage, or it tells you how many watts it is.
Cool. All right, listen, we're going to take another break. But when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, we've got Jack on the line. We're going to talk about all kinds of things. Maybe we'll get Steve to tell us which iPod we should buy for Christmas. All of them. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
It's Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
How did he know that? He's right. I am Nick Francesco.
But he forgot the rest of us.
He did forget the rest of you. And who are you?
Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, we got people on the line. Before we get back to them, I want to talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. That's Soundbites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was, what is your operating system? 523 of you voted, making it number 8 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. Not shockingly, Windows XP was right on top. Shockingly, 9898 SE and ME were next with 81 people who have not yet updated. Followed by OS X, followed by Linux. We're not far behind it. Followed by NT2000, followed by other, followed by Mac OS lower than 9, and absolutely nobody using OS 9. Now, there are two people using an OS lower than 9 and nobody using 9.
Which is happy for Apple because they killed OS 9 5 years ago.
Well, 98 was killed how many years
like
ago?
Microsoft killed 98 5 years ago.
Right. That's the thing. This week's poll is about the holiday shopping. It's all about the holiday shopping. How much of it do you plan to do online? The choices are all of it, most of it, some of it, or none. And so far, we have 87 of you voted. So far, and the vast majority of you, it's some of it. And once you're done with that, once you're done voting, you'll see below that a little yellow box. Click on the Give Us Your Opinion link. It will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Thank you. And here's somebody, three times they hit enter. They don't know what they're doing. But the rest of us, somebody reminded me, number 6 reminded me that I did not have a choice for the Macintosh, leaving all the Mac people having no idea what to click on now. But
well, if they haven't figured that out by now, they don't deserve to vote.
Exactly. You can leave an opinion. Now, whoever did 7, 8, and 9, did you listen to the show where I said that there is no archive for last week because I'm having trouble cleaning it up because it came... when I recorded it, it was a lousy recording. Did you hear that? No, you weren't listening. If you're not listening, why do you even want the archive? Okay, we're going to go on now. We're going to go on to our next call, who is Jack from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hi. I got a laptop that I got back in April, and I put in a wireless with Roadrunner here. Mm-hmm. It's been working fine up to about a month ago. And actually, it still works okay, but every once in a while, I'll connect on a website or my mail or something, and it tries to dial into Roadrunner.
Ha ha! You have spyware on your machine.
Oh, yeah?
It's one that's called Autodialer.
Autodialer.
So the minute you boot up the machine, it sits there and opens up a dialing menu that it wants to dial out.
Hmm. Okay.
What you want to do is download update and run both SpyBot and Adaware.
Okay, because I've been
actually not a bad idea to run the entire security tango just to clean up your machine once.
Okay.
Right.
Because I've been using Spy Sweeper.
That does a so-so job.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we recommend the two, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
No one program can do it all.
Okay.
SpyBot goes deep into the registry.
Mm-hmm.
Adaware goes into the registry a little bit, mm-hmm. but it goes wide into the programs.
Okay.
So this way you're covering both the registry and the programs with two programs to really get your machine clean.
Okay. Well,
you have to do it for every user. So if you've got five users on there, then you've got to log off and do it in the next user and the next one. I had one person, eight users.
And that's 5 or 6 hours for each user.
Can be.
Can be, yeah.
It was fun.
In the meantime, the other thing you can do is go into your network settings, and there's a button where you can say never dial. And then it won't try to dial if it doesn't see Roadrunner.
That doesn't get rid of the virus in the spyware, though.
Yeah,
you definitely want to do the other. All right, our next caller is Larry from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's your question?
My question is, will Security Tango work okay with a Mac?
No. It's specifically for Windows users.
Okay.
In general, Mac users don't have to worry about security issues because there currently are no viruses or spyware.
There are very, very few.
There's a couple of Trojan horses. Yep, there's no viruses and no spyware for the Mac. So in general, you don't have to worry about it. A lot of Mac users like to run an antivirus program, Norton, McAfee, ClamX.
I do run that.
Yeah. So when you get attacked by a Windows virus, because you will get one in your email, it can't affect your Mac. But if you forward that message onto a Windows user, they could get infected. So a lot of people like running antivirus on the Mac just so they're nice network citizens.
Well, that's right. Our next caller, Ken. From Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
Yes, I have a 60-gigabyte laptop on a wireless connection running Windows XP and looking for recommendation for external hard drive backup for files and the system for recovery.
You can get a USB external hard drive. And with those, you can more or less determine what size hard drive you want in it. 60, 80, 160,
yeah,
300.
What you're saying is they make external enclosures, cases, and you can put into it any hard drive you want.
Yeah, matter of fact, I got to build one up for a customer tomorrow. Okay. He wants and a 160-gig drive.
I saw something from Macstore that was a OneTouch 2.
There's also several companies that make external hard drives that come with backup software. So the Macstore, OneTouch, LaCie has their own brand. In fact, LaCie just introduced a new brand of a line of hard drives that look like Lego bricks. So it's something that you need to do. It used to be you could back up to floppies, but now with a 60-gig hard drive, that'll take 60,000 floppies. You don't want to do that. So even CDs holding 700 megs, it might take 100 CDs to back up all your stuff. So that's why external hard drives are getting to be very common now for backup. You plug them in, run your backup, and then unplug it.
Okay, back the train up for a second. I've got a question for Dave. Dave!
Here we go.
Uh-oh, Dave. Speaking of external...
Check your screen!
I gotta tease you because...
The ball wasn't in my court.
I told you what's... For those people who are wondering, I had asked Dave to give me a quote on an external hard drive. And
I said, what size?
And I thought I had given him all the information that he... And I wanted to know how much...
you were going to check the size of your hard drive.
I already told you.
Lost in the shuffle.
Whatever. Anyway, I had to bust your email tonight. I will. I'm going to. You watch.
I will have it back to you before the evening's out.
All right. Let's leave the domestic squabbles at home and let's get back to the
domestic squabbles. But he started it.
He didn't start it. He answered a question.
Are we there yet?
It's what we do here.
Oh,
I will turn this radio show around and go back home this minute if you two don't stop it. Do I have to separate you?
He's touching me.
Do I have to separate you?
I want to get away from him.
I will pull this radio show over right now. I will come in the back and slap you both in the next week.
Oh, thank you. Please.
All right, our next
caller. No one does road trips anymore. Probably half the people
and
listening
this is
don't.
Why.
Yeah, they don't get those jokes.
Our next caller is, we got another Ken. The Kens are just coming out of the woodwork. This one's in Nunday. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
I've lost my trash bin icon on my computer. I'm running XP Home.
Yeah. Good for you.
What file name do I look for?
Oh, you don't need to look for a file name. You can actually add it back in. I'm just trying to remember where and how.
Desktop Advanced Properties?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I got to close that down.
So right-click on the desktop, choose Properties.
Right.
One of the tabs is Desktop, and then there's a Customize Desktop button, and you can pick which icons you want to show on the desktop.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Thanks. All right. All right, good.
Yeah, none of us here are running XP, are we?
Oh, I am.
Oh, you got your XP machine
I was just
today.
Following that. I'm on my XP machine today. Not always, but today I am, and so there we are. Oh, and you've got it up there on the Wonder Machine there. I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting day today. We have one of the things that we said we would talk about when we came back about an hour ago was we would ask Steve which iPod, because the holiday season is upon us.
I personally don't think they're going to take off. I don't think they're ever.
You don't think it's a fad?
it's just a fad.
Passing fad?
10 million people would disagree with you.
Yeah.
Basically, there's three separate models. So there's an iPod for everyone's price range, from $99 to $399, depending on how many songs you want to hold. And one of the neat things about all of the iPods is they aren't just music. It's not just songs. Any audio file. So you can do audio books. The Soundbites podcast, other types of podcasts, and they're USB hard drives, so you can use your iPod to back up your computer in addition to playing music. So it's a lot of people are a little wary of the Nano, which is one of the new models. It's almost too small, and people are worried about losing it because it's so small. So there's neck lanyards, and that's the other thing, the accessories. You know, the iPod is a small piece of it. It's the accessories.
Right. Back when I used to smoke a pipe, it was a lot less about the pipe. And a lot more about the tampers and the pipe cleaners and the this and the that. And yeah.
So we're actually seeing one of the discontinued models, the iPod Mini, is actually selling very well for us. And we're almost out of them. Whatever you had left in stock when Apple discontinued them a couple of months ago. They're physically bigger than the Nano, but they have a greater capacity, so they can store more songs. And especially parents with younger children are less afraid of the thing getting lost or broken. Than the Nano. And then the full-size iPod, its big new feature now is playing video. So on a 30-gigabyte machine, you can get about 500 CDs on it or about 100 hours of video. So you can download TV shows from the internet. Apple is selling Lost and Desperate Housewives and a couple other TV shows, music videos. Pretty much any video you want on your own computer, you can encode to fit onto the iPod. So you can carry your shows around with you. It's great for commuters, you know, bus rides or whatnot. You know, catch the episode you missed last night, you know, pause, rewind, basically the live TV type stuff.
Right, exactly.
So it's
and I don't think you can underestimate putting your own videos online. You know, people used to carry around books full of photos.
Yeah,
and then they were carrying around photo iPods. Now you can carry on a video iPod. These are my grandkids.
Yeah, the full-size iPod, you can get an optional cable to plug into a television. So you can go to someone's house with all your photos and videos and go to the grandparents for the holidays and show them all the new stuff.
Oh, so now instead of avoiding going to someone's house to see the slides of their vacation, now I can't even let them in the door because they want to plug into my TV to show me the slides of their vacation.
Yep.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much. That's pretty pleasant.
So they're all really thin, really light, really small, and make great gifts for any price range.
All right. Our next caller, Hugh. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Hugh. What's your question?
Got a question. I have a P4 2.8 512 megs of RAM. And occasionally, if you don't reboot the machine, so you go to shut down, the three choices you've got, cancel, shut off, and restart, some of the icons on the desktop won't start the programs.
What OS are you running?
XP Home.
So, and you go to the restart, or and it won't restart at all?
Right. I rarely shut my computer off. When I'm done using it, I just, you know, let it go into sleep mode. And after maybe 3 or 4 days...
The problem with Windows... is that the memory management pretty much stinks.
Okay.
And if you don't reboot it semi-regularly, you start having problems.
Usually crashes at least once a day to make your reboot.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this happens because they reboot often. But, yeah, if you don't... my machine at work at home never gets turned off, and yeah, I have the same problem every once in a while. I just...
But things slow down, I have to reboot.
But
what might be stopping it? Is if he has a certain...
Now, are you saying it won't reboot?
Yeah, he's
saying... No, it reboots fine. Everything works fine.
That's what I thought.
When you try and start applications from the desktop, you double-click on the icon, and the program won't open or won't respond, and then you try...
Right, because what's happened is...
Same problem.
Right, because there's a memory management problem, and it thinks the memory is full.
I see. Okay.
Because Apple, excuse me, Steve,
nice.
Beg your pardon. Well,
I was just going to say it'd be nice if Microsoft gave you an error message instead of just nothing happening.
Well, the problem is, ever since the very first version of Windows, Microsoft has had problems with memory management, and they've just never solved them all. Now, yes, some of it indeed has to do with the fact that not all the programs are written by Microsoft, but even some Microsoft problems have their programs have their problems. So why don't we just call them Microsoft problems, and then we're probably better off. So every once in a while, and depending on how often you use your machine, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a day, you need to reboot. You know, it's a number of different programs you use and stuff like that. If you were to just turn your machine on and only ever open up, say, your email program and never run anything else, it could be a long time before you had to reboot.
I understand. Okay. No, it's used on a daily basis. I just, different programs respond differently, and there's no way I can change the settings of the memory management or...
No. No. God forbid you should be allowed to do that. No.
You can minimize the problem a little bit by reducing the number of different icons on your desktop. A lot of people throw everything on their desktop, and then all those little icons eat up part of the system heat.
Resources.
Right. Yeah. And basically, it is a resource problem. And if you... Right. Steve is right. If you have many fewer... The fewer icons on your desktop, the better. If you've got a picture in the background, get rid of that.
Too many fonts loaded.
Bunch of different fonts. You know, when you load, you know,
a lot of CorelDRAW, you get 1,000 fonts thrown in.
And they're all loaded into the resource area simultaneously.
I just had a client doing 1024 by 768. He had the dark blue background.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell it very easily. He had so many icons crammed on his desktop.
Yeah.
That you could hardly tell that it was a blue background until I started eliminating a few of them.
And sometimes it's not actually your fault. A lot of web browsers, when you download a file, it downloads it to your desktop. And then part of the process that people get confused about is when you download the file, it's encoded in some way. So you decode it into the compressed installer, and then you run the installer, and then you have the file.
Yep.
So you can end up with four different copies of what is essentially the same thing. So those first three you can delete. But if they're all on your desktop, you just fill up your desktop with icons.
Right. So that's really where your problem comes, you.
Okay, so basically nothing you can do about it then.
Just reboot every few days, sorry.
Or don't use Windows.
Or don't use Windows, right.
Oh,
right.
No, I mean, I've got another machine with Linux. You guys are great.
Thanks. And you haven't rebooted your Linux desktop in like forever, right? That's the way that works. That's the way that works. All right,
okay,
thanks. Thanks, you. Bye-bye. The reality is that, it's a memory management issue. And
it's a lot better in XP than it was in previous.
Well, all they did was make the problem is something called the heap space, the resource area.
Yeah.
They just made the heap space bigger in XP. They didn't fix the problem. They just made the area that you have the problem in a little roomier. Listen, we're going to take another little break while I adjust my meds. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Dave from Rochester is on the line. Welcome, Dave. What's your tale of woe?
How you doing? Got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, my sister-in-law was on my computer, and she was accessing her email. And in order to do that, she was playing around with security levels.
Uh-huh.
And then she said she put everything back. Now, what I've got, I got Windows XP, and I'm hooked to Earthlink. And I use Outlook for my email, and when you hit the send receive button, a window normally will pop up showing you the progress. And being, you know, with a dial-up connection, it's slow. It's nice to have that window there. The window's disappeared, so now I don't know how long it's going to take for the emails to show up.
That's a preference. Yep. Should be in the window menu, show detail progress. Or also, depending on what version of Outlook Express you're running, the bottom right corner shows you your status.
Okay.
And if you click there, it opens a menu to say show detailed progress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, under your connections. Is that
a lot of people don't like that window because, you know, it's annoying. I don't care how much longer it's going to take. Just give me my mail.
Yeah.
So they turn it off, and then the next person to use the computer likes that window and doesn't know how to get it back.
Okay. So just look that either on in Windows and Preferences. Or
under network connections.
Network connections.
No, it's inside Outlook itself. Show detailed progress while it's downloading mail.
Oh, that's in Outlook Express itself.
I thought he said he wanted to see the dial-up part.
Yeah, well, I want to see the window that used to that popped up and showed the progress, you know, the time frame for downloading, because it takes so long sometimes.
Yeah, that's Outlook.
That's an Outlook.
Detailed progress.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought he was
guys.
Talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah, to see the dialing progress.
Dials
yeah.
in that he wanted to see
apparently,
the dialing progress.
Apparently, Dave's sister-in-law doesn't listen to the show because
there's too many progress windows.
He was completely using Outlook. Willing to blame her.
Yeah, and then, you know, back up a step, don't use Outlook.
Well,
or
yes.
Or Express for the security problems.
Yes, we've been over that one long enough.
Been talking about, you know, just got through with Black Friday. And all the insane shoppers out there fighting over everything else. And I was trying to come up with some great toys that are coming out right now that folks might want to put on their shopping list. You know, I mean, have you seen any that you really want? Or are you, Steve?
Anything
we try to carry.
From ThinkGeek.com.
Or RCToys.com.
Or RCToys.com. Anything from either of those places, I'm a happy little camper.
Yeah, but what particular item would you sell? If you were going to have, say, a pick right now of any particular toy, computer-related toy that you'd want.
Me? I got nothing. My problem is I don't want anything. You know, my problem is I want, like, a color laser printer. You know, I'm not looking at the $20, $30 toy. I'm looking at the $700 toys. That's my area. It's mm-hmm. not, now, let me hasten to say that I'm not going to get them. Nobody's going to give them to me. But those are the kind of things that I want: a brand new dual processor Athlon 64 with 2 gig of RAM. That's what I want for Christmas.
Get the Quad G5.
Or the Quad G5.
Yeah. How much are color laser printers now?
They're actually down to about $400.
Yeah, is that all?
They start under $500.
I'll take two.
Depends on and a lot of times it's they're slower. You know, they might be only 5 or 6 pages a minute, but you know the
but their color.
Their color and the consumable cost of laser is so much lower. You're looking. You could look at $2-3 a page if you did an 8x10 color photograph on an inkjet printer.
Yep.
On a laser printer, 50 cents maybe in color. You know, a nickel of black and white.
Yep. See, that's the one thing I would want. I just got a new wife and I just got a new digital camera, but the one thing I'd like to be able to do, you know, always getting the printer is always cheap,
mm-hmm.
and I think you guys will both agree with me. It's the consumables.
Yeah. Well, if you're doing but photographs, nothing beats liquid ink.
Right, and that's what
until
I'd
you
like,
get to the $10,000 color laser printers,
the thermal, like, the dye sub transfer printers.
Yeah, I like a
you know what
nice
I hear.
Printer.
You know what I hear is really popular this year. Plasma and or LCD flat screen
not
TV.
Plasma, yep. And
not
I'll tell
plasma.
You why when we come back after this break. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And Mr. Linton posed a question.
Well, I did because basically for the simple fact that I want one.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
LCD or plasma.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is plasma, you can get much, much bigger screens. And so you want that. The problem I have with plasma is that it's prone to burning in,
right? Especially on channels that have those constant little ABC, CBS, NBC icons in the bottom.
Well, they've all got the bug now. Single one has the bug
right.
now. Whether it's on the right or the left, and even if you change channels regularly, that will burn in. I have one at work that has burned in so badly we can't use it anymore.
How old is it?
A year, not even a year.
Wow.
Yep. So I have to tell you, I am no fan of plasma. Absolutely not. I'd rather spend the extra money and get an LCD than get a plasma. Now, the other problem with both LCD and plasma TVs is that you don't necessarily get 100% out of the screen. If you've got X number of pixels that are bad, that's still a good screen, according right. to them. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful of that.
The problem is people are going to be buying up plasmas like crazy because they're cheaper.
Yeah, they are, that's what I'm saying. They're cheaper, mm-hmm. but they're prone to burn in. You have to be aware that if you're not careful and if you don't keep the brightness down, they'll burn in fast.
Everyone
but under any case,
up.
They'll burn in at some point.
And another alternative that we're seeing a lot of people do is a projector. For about $1,000, you can get a decent video projector and give yourself a 10-foot screen on a wall in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not have to worry about, you know, even a 40-inch LCD TV is $2,000 or $3,000. So, you get giant screens for out of a projector, relatively cheap.
Yeah, but I personally, my preference, no plasma. Don't like them. Don't want one. There's no point in buying a screen that in a year is going to burn in.
Yep.
I'm just not happy. I'm not impressed.
What's the life expectancy on LCDs? Any idea?
3, 4 years, 5 years.
How long?
5 years.
Come on.
Why?
Depends on how many pixels fail.
Yeah.
See, that's
a big... a lot of money to drop for a TV that's only going to last you 4 or 5 years. So in other words, your recommendation to people is stay away from them?
No.
Plan on getting a better one in a couple of years.
Right now they're talking about OLEDs, organic LEDs. They're talking right. about the paper thin. There's a whole bunch of new technologies that are coming out. But the reality is that these things don't last 10, 15 years.
And like regular TVs.
And you still get the best picture quality out of a CRT-based picture tube.
Yeah.
Of course, those are big and bulky, and people don't like them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're paying for, you're really paying for lower life and lower quality.
But it's cool.
But it is cool. And that's really what counts,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I can tell by the clock on the wall, the noise in my ear, and the look on Rob's face that we are done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank you all for voting on the website, soundbites.org. That's, of course, Bites with a Y. We've got over 100 people already. I love it when we get over 100 during the show. We will be back here next week, hopefully... I'll have cleaned up the last week's archive by then. Steve will certainly have the new one up. I haven't gotten a much better shot than I did. We'll be back next week. Remember, we're here every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening in. See you next week.
Whams, this is going to...